And we continue again to march through the gospel according to Mark. This is our sixth exhortation, and we're still in chapter one. Long way to go. There's 16 chapters. I hope I'm here for all 16 of them, and you are as well. So far we've seen John the Baptist, John the Baptizer, come and announce a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And then we see Jesus himself get baptized with that baptism, but we know that he got into the sin-filled water to take on sin so that we may take on his righteousness by grace through faith. And then after that, we heard the voice from heaven say, "This is my son in whom I am well pleased." And then Jesus begins his ministry. He says, "The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel." Yeah. And that's where we will pick up today after that. This was, again, he announced that after he had fasted and defeated Satan in the wilderness. But today we will see in our text for consideration, Jesus start to pick men to help him build his kingdom. He begins to pick men who he would teach and make his disciples. They would be his learners. They would be students. He would impart the knowledge of the kingdom of God to them. And he begins to pick those who will bring that kingdom forward. So with that said, let us go to the word of God. Mark chapter 1, verses 16 to 20, the word of God says, "Passing along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men.' And immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going a little farther, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were in the boats mending the nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and followed him." This is the infallible, inerrant word of God. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again. We can gather here today. We can hear from you, Lord. We can continue to see the life of Jesus, how he lived on this earth as fully God and fully man, how he began to pick his disciples, those who would carry the kingdom forward, that would eventually lead us to being part of the kingdom. So may we see what you want us to see today. Open our eyes, our ears, our hearts, and our minds to receive your message. And Lord, if there's anyone here who has not put their trust completely in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of their sins, may they not leave here today until they have done so. I pray everything in the saving name of Jesus Christ. And the saints said, amen. Amen. There's a question I remember being asked when I was a young child. I don't know if kids are still asked this question or if you've asked your children. What do you want to be when you grow up? The common answer that me and my little friends would give would be, "Oh, I want to be a fireman," or "I want to be a police officer," or "I want to be a baseball player." These were all occupations we were familiar with back then. We've seen them. They were talked about a lot on Sesame Street and Mr. Rogers. But these were things we wanted to do when we were a kid. But as we get older, our interests change. We start to learn a little bit more about the world. And then you get into high school, and the question is, what college are you going to go to? And then if you go to college, what's your major? You start to feel pressure at that age to pick the career you will be doing for the rest of your life. I went to college myself for music education. I wanted to be a music teacher, but also a professional musician. Well, that was the main goal. I wanted to be a rock star. You know, that's you play drums, you want to be in a band, but the fallback option is, I'll teach music too. And I actually got to teach music for 2 years at the high school I went to, which was a goal that I had in high school, to go back to the school I learned at to teach. And I was blessed with that opportunity. But as circumstances and interests changed, I moved on from that. And I've had other interests and other jobs here and there throughout my life. And if you want to know more about that, I'll tell you at another time. But what I want to say now is, since the point that God had saved me, my main goal in life had changed. It totally changed my calling and my career goals, the ones I thought I had. And I didn't know what that exactly would look like at the time, but I knew that no matter what I did, I had to tell people about Jesus Christ. As Pastor Bill often says, I was a beggar who found bread, and I had to tell other people where I found that bread. No matter what my career was, telling people the good news of Christ was the priority in my life. I had to tell them about him. My identity and what I did didn't matter. My identity is in Christ. I had to go after Jesus. I had to tell others to follow him, to walk with him, and to lead others to him. In the passage before us this morning, we see Jesus approach some men who were fishing. They weren't fishing just for fun. They weren't waiting for this holiday that I just heard of called Fishmas Eve. I don't know what that is, but somebody in here always posts on Facebook about Fishmas Eve. Yeah. But this was their job, although I'm sure they did enjoy what they did for a living. But this was their livelihood. This was their career. This is what they did to support their family. And this wasn't just an unlucrative business for them. They were probably very successful businessmen. Fishing was important in the world at this time. It's how people ate. These men and their families had very successful businesses. But Jesus now comes and totally disrupts what they would be doing. Perhaps they thought they would be fishermen until the day they died. But Jesus comes and he changes everything. We see two of these men fishing with their father. Again, fishing was a family business. Perhaps their father's father did this, or their father before him. Back then, you didn't have very many choices of what your career would be, as we are blessed with these days. You did what your family did. If your father fished, you fished. If your father was a carpenter, you were a carpenter. But on this day, a man named Jesus, one who perhaps these men have heard of before, comes up to them. One who maybe they witnessed John baptized, but they definitely heard John the Baptizer say, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And this Lamb comes to them as they're fishing on that very day. As we go through this passage today, we will do so in three parts. First, the unexpected. Second, the made. And third, the unhesitant. The unexpected, the made, the unhesitant. As we go through this text, I pray that first of all, you hear the call to repent and believe. That you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. But I also pray, if you've heard that call, that you hear the call to go and make disciples, to go and tell other people about this Jesus Christ who saved you. But let's look at their first point here, the unexpected. Verse 16, passing alongside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. With the invention of social media, it seems it's easy to become popular these days. You can post a video and have thousands to hundreds of thousands to millions of people like your video or share your video. It becomes what they say, viral. It spreads like a virus. Sometimes things on the internet are very much like a virus. Some musical artists get discovered this way. They post a video of them singing and people like this, share this. Again, it becomes viral. And maybe an agent sees them or another musical artist sees them and contacts them and they become a hit. They become an overnight sensation. But these hit talents, or maybe people who aren't very talented but are just popular, can be seen as likely to become the next hit. They look the part. They're trying to be famous. If you're going to look for a new artist, you can go on social media and find somebody that's trying to be the next big thing. Or if you're looking for an employee for your business, you can go on sites like LinkedIn or any other job site to find people who are qualified for what you're looking to do. Here we see Jesus, the one who is beginning his ministry by proclaiming the kingdom of God, walking along the Sea of Galilee. This is the place, again, where men were fishing. Again, not for sport, but this was their living. And Jesus was looking for men to follow him. He was looking for men to come after him, to join the kingdom of God. The king was looking for men to help grow the kingdom. If you're looking for men to help grow a kingdom, are you going to go to fishermen? Are you going to go to the sea? If you're looking for the most likely kingdom people, where would you go? Is this where royalty would be congregating, at the Sea of Galilee? Is this where the most educated and influential people would be to build a kingdom? Jesus could have gone right to the temple, right to where the religious elite were, to gather people to build his kingdom. He could have went to the Pharisees or the Sadducees, the men who studied the scripture for a living, and had them follow him. This would have made sense, especially as these men, the Sadducees and the Pharisees, were seen as holy. They studied the word of God. They knew the word of God. They taught the word of God. Yet Jesus did not choose these men, because Jesus often chooses the unlikely. We can see this in the Old Testament. I'll briefly read for you. 1 Samuel 16, verse 6. When they came, he looked on Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed is before him." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look on his appearance or on the height or his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." Then Jesse called Aminadab and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." Then Jesse made Shammah pass by. And he said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." And Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel. And Samuel said to Jesse, "The Lord has not chosen these." Then Samuel said to Jesse, "Are all your sons here?" And he said, "There remains yet the youngest, but behold, he is keeping the sheep." And Samuel said to Jesse, "Send and get him, for we will not sit down until he comes here." And he sent and brought him. Now he was ruddy and had beautiful eyes and was handsome. And the Lord said, "Arise, anoint him, for this is he." Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon David from that day forward. And Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. God often chooses the most unlikely people to build his kingdom. The most uneducated, the farthest from royalty. David was the youngest, and he was overlooked even by his own father. Yet God knew his heart. God continues to look upon the heart for people to build his kingdom. God changes our hearts for us to build his kingdom. Jesus going to these men, although it does look shocking and unexpected, is not all that unusual, especially for the task they're being called for. Some of you here fish. You're excited for the season to start. You prepare for the task. I've gone fishing 3 times in my life. Never caught anything. The last time I went fishing, I only caught seasickness. It was not fun. But those who like to fish know the skill. You've studied the skill. You've studied your equipment. You've studied on how to catch fish. You know what bait best attract the fish. You go out on a boat or an ocean or a lake, and you know the areas where the fish bite the most. You have your tools ready. You, in a sense, know the fish. You know how to fish and be successful. What looks here like uneducated men are exactly the right men to teach how to become fishers of men. And what makes this true most of all is that Jesus picks them. You are qualified because Jesus has chosen you. You are the right person for the job of being in the kingdom of God because Jesus has chosen you to be so. Jesus knows these men. He knows they know how to fish. The other perfect men to cast the net of the gospel and fish for men. So Simon and his brother Andrew were literally minding their own business. Then Jesus walks over to them and says this one sentence. And here's our second point, the maid. Verse 17, and Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." First, Jesus says, "Follow me." The word in Greek also means come after me, come behind me. Jesus is making this imperative statement to them, saying, "Come after me, follow me." He's saying, in a sense, walk with me. Imagine that. God comes to you and he says, walk with me. God, who you've sinned against, who should destroy you, comes over and he says, walk with me. There are a few people in the Bible who have walked with God. We see Enoch in Genesis is said to have walked with God and God took him home. Noah is said to have walked with God. Adam walked with God in the cool of the garden. And this is what we are called to do, as Micah writes in Micah 6, verse 8. He has told you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God? But here we have God come to these fishermen. He says, come, follow me, walk with me. These men walk with God. They follow him. They were to go where he would go. They were to eat where he would eat. They were to sleep where he would sleep. They were to begin to have their lives knit together with Jesus. But Jesus says more. Secondly, he says, and I will make you become. Over the years, I've had many drum students. I've had one-on-one students, and I've had drumline students. I would do everything I could to help them learn their instrument. I would listen to them play. I would give them material to practice. I would teach them rudiments, the fundamentals of playing drums and percussion. Some of these students would start off with some natural ability, and as they worked on it and practiced, they get better. Some students had no ability, no rhythm at all, and they would work and get better. But some students didn't practice. The only time they played all week was when they'd come to me for a lesson. I could only teach them. I could guide them. I could instruct them. I could help them. But I couldn't do what Jesus is saying he would do. I could not make them drummers. They had to do the work. I could show them how, but they had to do the work. Jesus says here, follow me. He says, come after me, walk with me, and I will make you become fishers of men. This is a different statement. He's not leaving it up to chance. He's not saying, follow me and I will teach you and maybe you will become fishers of men. No, he's saying, I will make you become fishers of men. They will be his apostles, his special messengers. They will fish for men and they will catch men. This will be the Lord's doing. Thus saith the Lord. Jesus has chosen fishermen who are masters at their occupation to now become men who are used of God to catch people. He will show them where the fish are. He will show them how to talk to the fish. He will give them the tool that they need to catch the fish, the tool of the gospel. Jesus will preach the gospel to them and to others so that they will repent and believe. And these men will go and preach the gospel to others so they will repent and believe. Brothers and sisters, know this. You are a Christian. God has made you become a Christian. You didn't do it yourself. This is a supernatural work of God the Holy Spirit to regenerate your heart, to be born again, to new life. You heard the gospel one day. The Holy Spirit came into your heart, regenerated you. One day, you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. You have life in Christ. You believe that he died on the cross for you, that he was buried, and he rose from the dead for you, for your justification. Then he ascended into heaven, and that's where he sits right now, at the right hand of God the Father. He is the King. You heard all this. You heard that you were a rebellious sinner who needed salvation. And you believed, you repented, you turned from your foolish thinking, your foolish heart that was darkened, and now you've been given light, the light of Christ. You believe by grace through faith that Jesus lived, died, and rose for you. And now you are saved, saved from eternal hell, saved from the outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth, saved from the fires of Gehenna, amen, of hell where the worm does not die. You do not have to be cast into the lake of fire. Because God has done it. He has made you become a Christian. Amen. It's all by him, all by his grace. And that work he started in you. Philippians 1 verse 6. And I'm sure of this, that he who began a work in you will bring it to completion on the day of Christ Jesus. The Father has done it. Jesus has done it. The Holy Spirit has done it. God has done it. God has made you new. I cannot make you new. I can stand up here all day long and hope that you are saved. I can have conversations with unbelievers all day long and hope they are saved. But I can't do it. But my God can do it.
Amen.
Your God can do it.
Amen.
He can make sinners into saints. I'm one that stands before you now. Jesus, truly God and truly man, says to these men, follow me and I will make you become fishers of men. Jesus makes you become a Christian and he can make you become fishers of men. And what is the result of him saying this? Our third point, the unhesitant. Verse 18, and immediately they left their nets and followed him. Mark's favorite word, immediately. Simon and Andrew did not hesitate. They left their nets. They left their business. They left the way of life that they've known because Jesus came to them and said this very thing. But Jesus isn't done calling men at this point. He calls these two, but then he goes further. Verse 19, and going a little farther, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were in the boat mending their nets. And immediately, is that word again? And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and followed him. Jesus now calls two more fishermen. They were two brothers fishing with their father. Again, a family business. These men were mending their nets. The nets were used to catch fish. They didn't just use the rod and reel. When I think of fishing, I often just automatically go to the rod and the reel. These fishermen were casting nets. And when the fish would go into them, the nets would often get a little bit destroyed. So they would have to mend them together. So they were mending their nets, preparing for the next catch. And Jesus called them, and they also unhesitantly followed him. These men weren't by themselves. They were with their father. And their father, they were all with the hired hands. And they leave their father with the hired hands. No hesitation is mentioned of these two men. The text doesn't say that they had the same offer even that Jesus offered Simon and Andrew. He just says, follow me. And they leave what they're doing and they go and follow Jesus. They drop their nets that they were mending and begin to embark on the kingdom mission of Jesus. His kingdom mission to mend hearts to him. They leave the world they knew to follow this man where he was going. They didn't know exactly where they were going at the time, but they dropped everything to follow this man who was also fully God. The calling of Simon, who is soon to be called Peter, the calling of Andrew, James, and John was a specific call, not only on for them to be in the life of Christ, forgiven saints, but to a life of ministry. To be clear, this passage is, I believe, a specific call to these men to be the apostles of Jesus. But maybe Jesus is calling you to a specific call to be a messenger, to be in ministry for him. No matter how old you are, how young you are, maybe you're being called this very moment and you're not sure if you're being called into a ministry position somewhere, maybe even a missionary in another country or a missionary right here in Phillipsburg. If you're not sure of that call, continue to pray about that call and continue to talk to brothers and sisters, talk to the elders. Because Jesus calls the most unlikely people to be his ministers, to share the gospel. But if you don't have a specific call on your life to that, you are still called to cast that net of the gospel. Parents, this starts with you. This starts with you at home. If you're at home with young children, you are to still preach the gospel and live a Christ-like life as best as possible to show your children the example. You have the fishing hole of your home. Same with aunts, uncles, grandparents. You have this opportunity to fish at these fishing holes. Find opportunities to share Christ with your family. What does this mean for the church? What does this mean for River of Life? You're already doing this in tremendous ways. You have the food pantry where people will come to be fed with physical food, but that's a tremendous opportunity to cast the net of the gospel. Again, the tool that these fishermen would use would be a net, right? Not a rod and reel, hoping to get a bite, They're casting a big net, drawing in as many fish as possible. There were so many people here when I came to the food pantry. The net of the gospel can be spread, not just by one person up front before they get the food talking, but by all of you who are here volunteering, starting conversations with them, getting to know these people so they don't only come when there's food, but they come for the food of the word, right? You want to catch fish. You want people to go from death to life because they can eat all they want. You can go to a buffet all you want. But at the end of the day, if you're not in Christ and you die, what good was that? You're in hell. You're in hell. But we don't want that for people, right? We want them to be saved. We want them to be brothers and sisters. We want them to be saints in the kingdom of God. And we all have the net of the gospel to cast out. So cast it out. If you haven't volunteered for the food pantry, volunteer. Just come once a month. Start the conversation. You might be a little nervous to start doing that. Just start. Just come. Other opportunities you may have out on the streets, other things we can do. We have to get the gospel out. We have to. Luke 10, verse 2, Jesus said, "The harvest is plentiful." The harvest, again, the food pantry, the harvest comes here. The fish come here. We take the opportunity to fish for men and women. Jesus continues in that, in verse 2. "But the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest." Again, come, be a laborer. Volunteer, get involved. Tell people of Christ. Tell people where you found the bread. Get to know people. You see, these men Jesus chose were fishermen. Again, they didn't fish with the rod and reel. They catch fish with a net. Let's bring in as many fish as possible, and Jesus will sort them. Where else can you fish? Think of opportunities. Continue to think and talk about where can you go as an individual to fish. Where's your fishing hole? Where are you going to go cast your net? And then as a church, let's think of more things that you all can do in this community to cast that net. When someone is dating another person, right, and they break up and one guy gets dumped or the girl gets dumped, their friend usually says to him, "Oh, well, there's plenty of fish in the sea." Let's change that to this opportunity here. We have the net of the gospel, and there's so many fish in the sea that Jesus hasn't brought into the kingdom yet. And he tells us to go and do that, to go make disciples of all nations. Jesus declared the kingdom of God is at hand. He sets forth the command to repent and believe, and immediately begins to call men to begin to work for the kingdom. May we continue to keep calling people to turn to Christ. C.T. Studd, British missionary, wrote, "Only one life, 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last." Are we fishing for Christ? Are you fishing? Let me challenge you. Let's go fishing. It's fishness every day. Let's go fishing. Let's go fishing. Maybe they won't come at first, but don't stop. Because I didn't come at first when somebody first was fishing for me. It took many fishermen, many nets cast around me, and I swam through the net like Nemo was swimming through the net. Eventually God said, "You're not going anywhere. I got you. You're mine." So don't give up hope. You need to go fishing. That's what Jesus says. He picks fishermen to be fishers of men. He will make you become fishers of men. It's him. It's the gospel. Nothing that you do except bring this message. Tell people of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your salvation. Thank you for not giving up on any of us in here. Thank you for making us your sons and your daughters, and then calling us to continue to spread this message. Thank you for calling people specifically to full-time ministry, to missionary work, to continue to spread your message everywhere. But let that not distract or discourage others who may not be called to specific missionary work, because we're all called to share the gospel of Christ. Because You've given us this grace. By grace we have been saved. It's nothing that we've done. So why wouldn't we want to just tell people of that? So give us, take away our fear of men, take away our love of self that prevents us from opening our mouths and loving others. How much more loving is it than to tell people of the joy they can have in Jesus Christ? Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I pray everything in the saving name of Jesus Christ. And the saints said, Amen. Amen.